Christmas Day for you might well involve some Celtic gifts, such as the latest strip or other merchandise. But of course, you won't be able to watch the Celts on Christmas Day. However, up until the 1970s, that wasn't the case. From Celtic's earliest days until 1971, they regularly played matches on Christmas Day, whether in Scotland or elsewhere. This is the story of Celtic's final Christmas Day game. Historically, New Year was celebrated as a much bigger holiday in Scotland than was the case for Christmas Day. At least until the 1950s, and even after this, the 25th of December was treated as a working day, with many expected to report as normal to their jobs. It was 1958 before the 25th of December became a public holiday in Scotland, and the mid-70s when the same was true for Boxing Day as well. As such, people also wanted entertainment and distraction on the day, and this is where football became involved. 1893 saw Celtic's first Christmas Day game, a 1-1 draw with Clyde that was notable for being the first time that electric lights were used to illuminate Celtic Park. These games continued in subsequent years, with the boys playing numerous fixtures in Scotland and England, a mixture of friendly and also league games too. As traditions began to change in Scotland and Christmas Day became much more of an important family event, so too the practice of playing matches on these days came to a conclusion. The last time that a Celtic team ran out on the 25th of December was 1971. This was in the midst of Celtic's first 9-in-a-row run, so the fans were always assured of interesting and important games. The 1971 Christmas Day match was no exception, as the boys faced Hearts. It proved to be an enthralling match, full of goals and excitement, and some rough treatment too for at least one boy in green. 34,000 fans left their Christmas dinners and headed to Celtic Park. In a reflection of attitudes of the time, the Scotsman said that those men risked the wrath of their wife and mother. Presumably, they didn't think that some women would go to the games too. In fact, the reporter went even further than this, writing that man and boy will be faced with the choice of appeasing their wife or mother, or standing on the terraces with acute indigestion after hurried lunches. Some Celtic players were missing owing to injury, including Lou Macari and Bobby Murdoch. However, the boys had an otherwise strong lineup of Dennis Conaghan, David Hay, Jimmy Quinn, Kenny Dalglish, Billy McNeil, George Conley, Jimmy Johnson, Bobby Lennox, Dixie Deans, Tommy Callaghan, and Harry Hood. Jim Craig was on the bench. Hopefully all those fans that had been attracted to the match arrived on time, because within seconds of the kickoff starting, Celtic fans got another present. With the clock reading only 41 seconds, the ball was knocked into the net by Harry Hood. The Celts perhaps now hoped for and expected a rout versus Hearts, but the expected goals rush didn't come. Despite huge pressure from the home team, they couldn't double their advantage, and it wasn't for lack of effort. Dixie Deans twice hit the bar, as did Tommy Callaghan, and Bobby Lennox had one ruled out for offside. So far, the Tynecastle club had failed to make any inroads into the game. One journalist later claimed that they looked like the little boys that Santa forgot. But when only one goal behind, they were very much still in the match. And then, on 31 minutes, Celtic were made to pay for their poor finishing, as Derek Renton equalised for Hearts. The Edinburgh men may have hoped this would turn things round, but any seasonal cheers for the visitors lasted only 3 minutes. Jimmy Johnson collected the ball from Kenny Dalglish. He went on a mazy run, easily evading various Hearts defenders, and then smashed the ball past the away goalkeeper to restore Celtic's lead. The entire day was an extremely impressive performance by Johnson, and he was later praised as man of the match. One newspaper compared the way that he moved around the park with the dancing of Fred Astaire, and another headline read that Celtic's wizard leaves Hearts spellbound. He was also subject to some brutal treatment from the Hearts team as part of their forlorn efforts to stop him. One witness claimed that at one point, Johnson was subjected to a judo-like tackle, with the assailant being given only a ticking off by the referee. At half-time, it was still 2-1 to Celtic, and into the second half, the Hoops continued to press, but once again struggled to find a way past Jim Cruikshank in Hearts' goal. That is, until the 70th minute, when Dixie Deans made it 3-1 to the Hoops, doubling the home advantage. With a 2-goal lead, Celtic should now have seen out the game comfortably, but Hearts had other ideas. On 77 minutes, Jim Brown pulled one back, and the Maroons went in search of an equaliser. With only minutes to play, Brown hit another shot, but fortunately for Celtic, it came back off the bar. Perhaps a bit of luck for the Celts, although they had themselves hit the woodwork no fewer than 4 times. Shortly afterwards, the referee's whistle brought to an end the festive proceedings. With a 3-2 scoreline, Celtic had claimed another 2 points in the title race, and the fans had been entertained by a brilliant afternoon of football. It wasn't just the Hoops that were in action that day, there was a full card in Scotland. Celtic's nearest challengers that year were Aberdeen, who marked the visit of St Nicholas with a 3-0 victory at Falkirk. The fact that the top two had both claimed victory meant there was only 1 point separating them. It would take Celtic towards the end of the season to finally shake off the Dons challenge and claim the championship. That title triumph, secured in April 1972 with a 3-0 win at East Fife, came just days before Celtic were defeated in the European Cup semi-final, losing to Inter Milan in a penalty shootout which followed 2 0-0 draws. This was Celtic's first ever penalty shootout, and sadly for the boys ended in disappointment. This still ended up though being a historic season for the Celts. When they were crowned champions in April 1972, it was their 7th league title in a row, beating their own previous 6 in a row record from 1905 to 1910. 1971-72 also saw Celtic claim the Scottish Cup, with a 6-1 win over Hibs, which is the boys' biggest victory in the Scottish Cup final. That game saw Dixie Deans become only the second Celt to score a hat-trick in the Cup final, along with Jimmy Quinn, who did the same in 1904. Deans in fact made history as being the only Celt to score a treble in both the League Cup and Scottish Cup finals. To give an idea of how long it's been since Celtic last played on Christmas Day, consider the changes that have taken place in society since then. The internet has been invented and come to dominate the world. Britain has joined and left what became the European Union. We've seen the end of the Cold War, and probably the start of another one. And of course, there's been 2 Rangers. Starting in 1893, Celtic played 26 games on the 25th of December. For now, this is unlikely to happen again, although TV companies may one day push for a change, despite the public criticisms this would likely draw. Until that day comes though, Merry Christmas, and come on the Celts. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter, X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.